Welcome to the GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover everything you need to know about the key beliefs of Islam for your OCR GCSE exam. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode is packed with exactly what examiners are looking for. Let's get started. First, a quick overview of what we're covering today. The OCR specification requires you to understand Islamic beliefs from two distinct traditions, Sunni and Shia Islam. You need to know the Sunni six articles of faith and the Shia five roots of Usul ad-Din. You also need to understand key theological concepts like Tawhid, Risala, Akhira, and Al-Qadr. And crucially, you need to be able to use specific sources of wisdom and authority, that means Quranic references and hadith, to support your answers. The exam rewards precision, so let's build that precision right now. Section 1. The nature of Allah and Tawhid. The absolute foundation of Islamic belief is Tawhid, the oneness of Allah. This is not simply saying God exists. It is a profound theological statement that Allah is unique, indivisible, and unlike anything in creation. The Quran expresses this beautifully in Surah 112, known as Al-Ikhlas, which states, "Say, He is Allah, the One, Allah, the Eternal Refuge. He neither begets nor is born, nor is there to Him any equivalent." This is one of the most important Quranic references you can use in your exam. Examiners will award marks specifically for citing it in relation to Tawhid. Allah is described through 99 beautiful names in Islam, known as the Asma'ul Husna. These names reveal different aspects of Allah's nature. For example, Al-Rahman, the most gracious, Al-Rahim, the most merciful, Al-Qudir, the all-powerful, Al-Alim, the all-knowing. Understanding these names helps candidates explain why Muslims believe Allah is both transcendent, beyond human understanding, and immanent, close to and involved in human life. The Quran says in Surah 50 verse 16, "We are closer to Him than His jugular vein." That's a powerful quote for showing Allah's immanence. Now, a key distinction for Shia Islam, the concept of Adalat, divine justice. Shia Muslims place particular emphasis on the belief that Allah is perfectly just and will never act unjustly. This shapes Shia theology significantly, particularly their understanding of free will. If Allah is perfectly just, then humans must have genuine free will, otherwise it would be unjust to hold them accountable for their actions. This is why Adalah is one of the five roots of Usul ad-Din in Shia Islam, but is not separately listed in the Sunni six articles of faith, though Sunni Muslims absolutely believe in Allah's justice too. Section 2. Risala, prophethood. Risala means prophethood or messengership. Muslims believe Allah communicated with humanity through a long line of prophets, 124,000 according to some hadith traditions, beginning with Adam and culminating with Muhammad, peace be upon him, who is the seal of the prophets, the final messenger. Why does Risala matter so much? Because it explains how humans receive guidance from Allah. Without prophets, humans would have no reliable way of knowing Allah's will. The prophets brought both verbal teachings and written scriptures, the Kutub, or holy books. These include the Torah given to Musa, Moses, the Zabur given to Dawud, David, the Injil given to Isa, Jesus, and finally the Quran given to Muhammad. Muslims believe the Quran is the final, perfect, and uncorrupted word of Allah. The angel Gabriel, played a crucial role in Risala. It was Jibril who delivered the revelation of the Quran to Muhammad over 23 years, beginning in 610 CE in the cave of Hira near Mecca. This is an important specific fact for your exam. Don't confuse Jibril's role, revelation, with Mika'i's role, which is associated with sustenance and mercy, including sending rain and providing for creation. This is a very common mistake that examiners see, and it will cost you marks. For Shia Muslims, the concept of Nubuwa, prophethood, is one of the five roots. Shia Islam places additional emphasis on the imamate, the belief that, after Muhammad's death, leadership of the Muslim community should pass to Ali ibn Abi Talib, Muhammad's cousin and son-in-law, and then to a line of 12 imams who were divinely guided and infallible. This contrasts sharply with Sunni belief, which holds that leadership passed to the caliphs, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, who were elected or chosen by the community but were not considered infallible or divinely appointed. This Sunni versus Shia distinction over leadership is one of the most important divergences you need to be able to explain in your exam. Section 3. Malaika, belief in angels. Angels, or Malaika, are spiritual beings created from light. They have no free will and exist solely to carry out Allah's commands. The Quran mentions angels frequently, and belief in them is the second article of faith in the Sunni six articles. Key angels to know: Jibril, revelation and communication with prophets; Mika'il, sustenance, mercy, rain, and provision; Israfil, will blow the trumpet to signal the day of judgment; Azrael, the angel of death, who takes souls at the moment of death; and the Kiram and Katibin, the two recording angels who sit on each person's shoulders and record every deed, good and bad. These records will be presented on the Day of Judgment. Section 4. Al-Qadr, Divine Decree. This is one of the most theologically complex beliefs in Islam, and examiners know it. Al-Qadr refers to the belief that Allah has knowledge of all things, past, present, and future, and that everything happens according to His divine will and plan. The Quran states in Surah 54 verse 49, "Verily, all things we created in proportion and measure." Here is the theological tension you must be able to navigate. If Allah has decreed everything, do humans have genuine free will? If not, how can they be held accountable for their actions? Muslim scholars have wrestled with this for centuries. The mainstream Sunni position, particularly the Ash'ari school, holds that Allah has foreknowledge of all human choices, but that humans still make genuine choices. Think of it like this. A teacher might know a student will fail an exam, but that foreknowledge doesn't cause the failure. The student still chose not to revise. Shia Islam, with its emphasis on adalat, divine justice, tends to give greater weight to human free will, arguing that genuine accountability requires genuine freedom. Examiners will credit candidates who can articulate this tension clearly and who can explain how different Islamic traditions resolve it. Section 5. Akhira, Belief in the Afterlife. Akhira refers to the belief in life after death and the Day of Judgment. This is central to Islamic ethics. The belief that every action has eternal consequences motivates moral behavior in this life. The journey of the afterlife in Islam unfolds in stages. First, death. The soul is taken by Azrael, the angel of death. Then, Barzakh, the intermediate state between death and resurrection. The soul exists in a kind of waiting state. Some hadith describe this as a period where the soul experiences a foretaste of its eventual destination. Then comes Yawm al-Din, the Day of Judgment. All souls are resurrected and stand before Allah. Deeds are weighed on the scales of al-Mizan. Then comes the Sirat, a bridge described in hadith as thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword, which souls must cross. The righteous cross easily, the wicked fall. Finally, souls enter either Jannah, paradise, described in the Quran as gardens of eternal bliss, rivers of honey and milk, and the ultimate reward of seeing Allah, or Jahannam, hell, a place of punishment and suffering. The Quran emphasizes both Allah's mercy and His justice in relation to Akhira. Surah 99, Al-Zalzalah, states, "Whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it, and whoever does an atom's weight of evil will see it." This is a powerful quote for exam answers about Akhira and accountability. Now let's move to exam tips and common mistakes. Tip 1. Never confuse the Sunni six articles of faith with the Shia five roots of Usul ad-Din. They overlap, but are not identical. The key differences are that Shia Islam includes adalat, divine justice, and the imamate, belief in the 12 imams, which have no direct equivalent in the Sunni six articles. Examiners specifically look for this distinction in higher mark questions. Tip 2. Always use specific sources of wisdom and authority. Don't just say, "The Quran says Allah is one." Say, "Surah 112, Al-Ikhlas, states that Allah is one and has no equal." The difference between a generic reference and a specific one is the difference between level 2 and level 3 marks. Tip 3. For 6 mark explain questions, use the PEE structure twice. Point. Make a clear theological point. Evidence. Cite a specific source, such as a Quranic verse or hadith. Explanation. Explain how the evidence supports your point and what it means for Muslim belief or practice. Do this twice and you have a strong 6 mark answer. Tip 4. For 15 mark discuss questions, you must reach a justified conclusion. This is where many candidates lose marks. The question will ask something like, "Tawhid is the most important belief in Islam. How far do you agree?" You must evaluate arguments on both sides and then give a clear, reasoned judgment. Simply listing arguments without a conclusion caps you at level 2, which is a maximum of 6 marks out of 15. That is a significant loss. Tip 5. Jihad, if it comes up, must be explained in both its dimensions. Greater jihad is the internal, personal struggle to live a good Muslim life, to resist temptation, and to submit to Allah. Lesser jihad is the external, military defense of the faith when necessary. Defining jihad solely as holy war is a common and costly mistake. Tip 6. Allocate your time carefully. The 15-mark question deserves approximately 20 minutes. The 6-mark question deserves approximately 8 minutes. Don't spend equal time on unequal questions. Now for our quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause the audio, think of your answer, then press play to hear the correct response. Question 1. What is the Arabic term for the oneness of Allah, and which surah is most associated with it? Pause now. The answer is Tawheed, and the surah is Surah 112 Al-Ikhlas. Question 2. What are the 5 roots of Usul ad-Din in Shia Islam? Pause now. The 5 roots are Tawheed, oneness of Allah, Adalat, divine justice, Nubuwah, prophethood, Imamate, leadership of the 12 Imams, and Miad, the day of resurrection. Question 3. What is Barzakh? Pause now. Barzakh is the intermediate state between death and resurrection, where the soul waits before the day of judgment. Question 4. Which angel is responsible for revelation, and which is responsible for sustenance? Pause now. Jibril is responsible for revelation. He delivered the Quran to Muhammad. Mika'il is associated with sustenance and mercy, including providing rain and provision for creation. Question 5. What is the key theological tension in the concept of Al-Qadr? Pause now. The tension is between divine predestination, Allah's foreknowledge and decree of all things, and human free will and moral accountability. If Allah has decreed everything, how can humans be held responsible? Muslim scholars resolve this by distinguishing between Allah's foreknowledge and compulsion. Allah knows what humans will choose, but does not force those choices. And finally, our summary and sign-off. Today we covered the core beliefs of Islam as required by the OCR GCSE specification. We explored Tawhid, the absolute oneness of Allah, supported by Surah 112. We examined Risala, prophethood, and the crucial distinction between Jibril's role in revelation and Mika'il's role in sustenance. We compared the Sunni 6 articles of faith with the Shia 5 roots of Usul ad-Din, focusing on the unique Shia concepts of Adalat and the Imamate. We navigated the theological complexity of Al-Qadr and the tension between divine decree and human free will, and we traced the journey of Akira, from death through Barzakh to the Day of Judgment, and on to Jannah or Jahannam. Remember, examiners reward precision, use the Arabic terminology, cite specific Quranic references, distinguish between Sunni and Shia beliefs, and always, always reach a justified conclusion in your 15-mark essays. You've got this. Good luck in your exam and keep revising with purpose. Until next time, this has been your GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast.